Thank you, Lord. He that believes enters into a rest. Hallelujah. A rest of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, Matthew chapter 24. Good scripture about the end times. Jesus talking to the Jews, talking to Israel. But these things pertain to us, all of it leading up to the great tribulation he talks about in this chapter. And so most of this is about the tribulations that the Jews have had and they will have. It's what the tribulation is designed for, the Jews, not the church. I even heard a pastor say today that the Lord has to clean up the church before he can take us out of here, because he's not coming after church without spot or wrinkle. They said it, and I thought about that one time, and I thought, well, wait a minute, it's better to die and go on to heaven before you start getting rough with us and clean us up. Well, somehow or another, they think that we won't get clean unless we go through some tribulation. And I think, well, shoot, it'd be better if them's already dead. It's to our disadvantage to be alive, because he's the one who's going to clean us up. We'll be the only ones spotless. What about the rest of them that died and wasn't spotless? When are they going to get cleaned up? Not fair, Lord. That's not what it says. He said he presents it to himself. I don't present it to him. You're not going to get any more clean than you are when you get born again. He washed me white as snow. Your spirit, your flesh will always be dirty because it's under the curse. I don't care what you do. You're never going to get this flesh perfected or clean like it will be when you get your glorified body. Because it's under the curse. And so we get clean anyway through the washing of the water of the Word. We're supposed to live a clean life. We're supposed to live a sanctified life. We're supposed to live a holy life. We're supposed to do that. But that's up to us. Now, that's what you'll be rewarded for and how you did it. It said he that these things, hear these things, will purify himself. Purify himself. And so that's what we're supposed to do, take the Word, judge ourselves, and repent of things we do wrong, clean ourselves up through the Word, through the washing of the water of the Word. And the Holy Spirit helps us do that. So praise the Lord. And so thank God he's coming after the church. We're his church. And we're his body now. In position, we're his body now. But one day we'll be his bride. Now, we can't do that. He has to do that. But in position, in relationship, now we're the body of Christ. And for that cause, we're to do the work of Christ on the earth. He's the head, we're the body. We're to do the works he did and greater works. Greater works, not in quantity, not in quality, but in quantity. Because quality, we can't do any more than he did. But in quantity, you know, there's people that's in one meeting, Reinhard Bunke got 1 million people born again. One meeting. Jesus never got 1 million born again one meeting, personally. So in quantity, there's more of us and all that get greater works, but not in quality, because he did some great things. But no one man's going to do it all. The body will do it all. Amen. All of us are one body, one head, one body, doing the work of Jesus. I've got a part. You've got a part. I can't do your part. You can't do my part. But all the parts together make up a whole. And so if everybody does their part, Ephesians says, then we'll grow up into the fullness. Amen? So I don't understand it all. Can't understand it all. I just do what I understand. Amen? I stay busy trying to do what I know. I don't even worry about what I don't know because I have a hard time with what I know to do. That's enough. Amen? So praise the Lord, we're not responsible for what we don't know. So praise the Lord, but we are responsible for what we do know. To whom much is given is much required. And so I'm required to be faithful in what I've been given. And I can be faithful in what I've been given, and that's all I can be faithful for. But you have to do it with your whole heart, everything in you. Do what you know to do. If we're just a member of a church and we support a church and he called us to a church and we know that's our job, then we're supposed to go to that church, support that church, and be there all the time and support it with everything we've got. That's what you're required to do. And if that's all you're required to do, then you ought to say, praise the Lord. Amen. Because you're not required to do what Billy Graham had to do or Kenneth Hagin. All you're required to do is show up, be faithful in showing up, be faithful in supporting, be faithful in praying for the pastor and the church. Don't cause trouble. Amen. Give your tithes and offerings. Believe God. And that's what you're required to do. And that you'll get a good reward for that if you've done that with the right attitude. And so don't be asking for anything else to do until you've been real faithful for what he told you to do. And if you knew the whole picture, you wouldn't be asking for anything else to do. You'd be saying, thank God I can be faithful with this. I can do this, good Lord. I don't want to do nothing else. Amen. I don't want to do nothing else, Lord, but praise the Lord. If he finds us faithful and wants to give us another assignment, that's fine. Amen? If not, leave it alone. Praise the Lord. Just be a good saint in the church. Praise the Lord. And that's a blessing. I know it is to the pastor and it is to the rest of the flock. Somebody just be a blessing. Amen? Well, we're all blessings, aren't we? Matthew 24, we'll look in verse 12, just a scripture that I had on my mind about all the junk that's going on in the body of Christ. He says, when you see these things, these are the beginning and all these things, an ethnic group, you know, I told you last week, nation or ethnic group against ethnic group and race against race. We're seeing all these things come to pass, and they're accelerating. They're speeding up. Rick Renner, he's in Russia, and he comes back, I know, every 6 months. He might come more often than that now. But he's said that he is amazed in America. Every time he comes back, like in a six-month period of time, how much it's digressed or what all has happened in the America in the 6 months that he's been gone. See, we live in it all the time. We really can't see these things happening because they're happening around us, and we get slowly acclimated to them to where they're not outstanding to us. But they are, and he talked about how these things are taking place so quickly. And you look back in the last 3 or 4 years, in the last year, in the last 6 months, how these things are speeding up so fast. Because it says, nation against nation, races against races, famines, now earthquakes. They say that this is going to be one of the worst hurricane seasons. It says it's, looking like it's going to be. I heard them say that on the weather the other day. I don't know. But these things are also going to increase drastically, you know, as these conditions of the heart of man. That's what Paul addressed in the church more than he did nature or Israel or anything like that. He addressed the heart of man and what men would be doing. And we see that. Lovers of self. You know, I preached on that last week. Lovers of self. That's why it's all, if you read Timothy chapter 3 there, where it talks about all these, 2 Timothy, where it talks about all these things, all stems from the fact it's all about self. It's all about self. And you compare this, what Jesus said, to what Paul said, to what Peter said, to what Howard Pittman said, to what other prophets said, to what Brother Hagin said, then you see it just happening so fast. And Peter said this, you see all these things happening, what manner of man should you be? Talking about mankind. Well, we should be the kind that straightens up real fast. You know, I'd be afraid to get away from church nowadays. I don't want to get out of church. People think, well, it won't affect me. You'd be surprised what it'll do for you. There's spirits out there, and what it is, spirits that's affecting how men act and operate, the heart of man, self, and all these things. Very easy to get distracted nowadays. Very easy to be pulled into wrong way of thinking with all the things that's around us. Very easily we start accepting things that we shouldn't accept. Lifestyles we shouldn't accept. We'll be tolerant toward things we shouldn't be tolerant toward. We'll start saying, well, that's not that bad. Yes, some things are bad. We should never accept something. That doesn't mean that we're mean toward people or condemn people or hate people. No, but our standard doesn't change. We drive a standard like the Lord showed me one time in our home, our family, church, or whoever we are. We are people of influence. You influence somebody, either positive or negative. You influence somebody. And people are influenced by you, especially when you become a Christian. You've got to understand that. People are influenced. Your children are influenced. You can't hide things. It's like, well, I can slip and drink a beer. I can slip and watch pornography. Or I can slip. But it's a spirit. It gets in the home. And that spirit will get on the kids. And it'll follow you around. You can't hide anything. You just get the spirit. And spirits are spirits. And the Lord showed me what we are. I was staking tomatoes one time out, you know, and working in the garden, and the Holy Spirit spoke that to me. You drive a stake up, and you tie that tomato to that stake. If you don't, it'll fall over. And the fruit will be on the ground, and it has more of the opportunity or the potential to rot or not be good fruit because it's allowed to fall on the ground. You drive a stake beside of it, and you tie that tomato to that stake. And the tomato grows and stands as straight as that stake is. Or beans. I had some beans at that time, and I staked them. And some beans you can leave on, they're bunch beans. They're just, they grow on the ground. And some beans are like a cornfield bean. They have a vine, they run. And so I put up a wire, I put up chicken wire beside those beans, and those beans would grow up to that wire, and you could walk through there and stand like this and pick it. If not, they just run every which way. And the Lord said, we are like that stake. They have to have something strong to be tied to. And if we bend, they bend. And if we compromise, they compromise. And if we don't stand straight, there's nothing to tell them to be straight. And we can't afford to bend. We can't afford to compromise. I tell people, it doesn't matter what your kids are doing. Don't you accept one thing of it. If they come in and say, well, you know, I'm a homosexual. Well, you don't throw them out of the house and kill them. They did in the Old Testament. Thank God for grace. But you just say, well, you're my kid and I love you, but I do not accept your lifestyle. I will never accept your lifestyle. And what you're doing is sin. And every time you get around me, I'm going to pray for you and tell you it's sin. And if you don't straighten up, you're going to hell. You say, that's tough. That is tough. But what else are you going to tie them to? You going to compromise with them? You going to bend with them? No. You stand straight. You don't compromise because the world is going every which way. You don't compromise from truth. Truth is truth. Now, it's doubtful things like over in Romans 14, you know, that's a different sermon. Those things, you know, are a little different. But truth of God's word, certain things matter. And you don't compromise. It's like going to church. You come to my house. You get up Sunday morning. If you don't want to go to church, you make yourself at home. I'll be back after church. You don't compromise. You don't lay out a church for the ites of the world. Because if you do, as soon as you do that, they think about you. But when you stand up, they may not act like it, but they respect you. You speak loud by your actions, loud. And say, now, this is what I do, and this is what we do. Well, that's not what we do, and we don't approve of what you do. I said, well, there's a Greek word for that. I don't care what you think. Don't matter what you think. It's what I do. I know truth, you don't. You don't know how important it is to go to church. You don't know how important it is to praise God. You don't know how important it is to give tithes and offerings. You don't know how important it is to go and lift your hand to your Lord and with God's people and praise Him on Sunday morning. You don't know that yet. I do. It's truth. So I don't compromise truth. Are you out there? We're living in a day, an hour of compromise. Kids don't know what's truth. All these people that's doing all this right, and they're young people. Most of them come out of colleges. I guarantee you all the leaders, most of them come out of colleges that taught them that the problem in the world is America. And they've taught them in our colleges to hate America. Liberals. And so we send our kids to that junk, and they come home, and everything we've worked to put in them, they start doubting it because they sit 4 to 6, 8 hours a day listening to some man, person that's going to hell that don't know nothing. It's not teaching academics, but teaching propaganda and putting that in our children, and they start doubting. I'd find out where there's a lot of good colleges that doesn't teach that junk. They think go to Harvard or Yale or something. I'll give me a break. It used to be good, but you better be careful where you let your kids go and what they listen to. Are you out there? Because they go off, and evidently they're not strong enough in what they believe, and they bend too easy. They're not the stake driven in the ground beside the people around them. They bend to the other stake. They wrap around the other stake. You get in any pack, whether it's a group of men or a group of dogs, the strong dog leads. Did you know that? The strong man leads. The strong boy leads. The one that has the strongest belief and stands up for it influences the others, and they follow him. It's called peer pressure. And it's sad, some of our Christian children are not strong enough, and they get around some worldly kid or in colleges, whatever, and they just bend and let the strong one lead, and they're wrong. I'm stronger than they are. Why? I've got truth. They don't. Are you out there? And that's the truth. And what do they do? Girls go off. Next thing you knew, they were some old goofy guy. They're ites, like the Old Testament called the ites in the Canaan land. God said, you stay away from those ites. Hittites, Jebusites, all the ites. And he said, whatever you do not mix with them. That's where you get mixing of the race. He wasn't talking about that. He's talking about mixing with the heathen. Stay away from them. But where do they, as soon as they get an opportunity, where do they migrate toward? The ite. Some ite. Yeah, but he's different. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. I'm going to get him in church, and he's going to make a real godly man. Well, the odds are not very favorable for that. What they'll do is lead you astray, and you won't be in church, and you won't be raising your hands to your God. You won't be tithing. You won't be bowing your knee. You'll be wrapped around the other strong stick. Instead of influencing, you become influenced. And that's what we're happening in our society. The church is too easily influenced. People, Christians, are too easily influenced. And God told them in the Old Testament, if you start following the ites and you start mixing with them and they come in, the next thing you know, you'll forget me. And exactly what they did. And before long, they are on top of the mountain in the high places, worshiping Baal, worshiping the false idols of the land. They wasn't worshiping God. They were worshiping the idols of society. Baal and these other gods. Same thing that's happening today. Worshiping the idols of society. And they start bowing to that and compromising. Then God said, I have no other choice but to give you up and let judgment come on you that you might be saved. And we think because we're Americans and because we're the church, we think just like the Jews did, Israelites did. We're too strong. Our army's too strong. And they had a strong army. Their nation was a lot older than our nation. And they think, we can't be defeated. We won't go into captivity. Jeremiah shouted. All of them shouted. Ezekiel shouted. God said, I'm telling you. But what did they do? Bowed their knee. Did not become a strong strongest one around them. They compromise to everything. And we let our kids just migrate off. They might migrate off, but I'll tell you, I'll be shouting at them all the way. You follow them, you're going to hell. I let my kids know real fast. I don't approve of that. I don't approve of it. I won't approve of it. I'll never approve of it. I'm driving this stake in the ground, and it's going to stay here. What you're doing is wrong. It's called sin. It don't seem to bother us anymore. Now we look at our nation, and we don't even know right and wrong. Who knows right and wrong? The younger generation doesn't. Do you know they're our next leaders? All you kids, see, I'm going to be gone another 30 years. I'm going to be gone. And these other leaders are coming on. I don't regret it for me. I'm too strong. They're not going to get me to bow. I'll die in the street, but I'm not bowing. But I don't know about the other kids. Just give it up. Just give it up. We'd rather be popular and run with the strongest act. Our job was to turn them over, you know. Praise the Lord. Did we ever read the scripture? Matthew 24, verse 12. Is that what I said? And because, everybody say because. Lawlessness will abound. That means it's abounding, getting stronger, growing. Lawlessness. What's lawlessness? Disorder due to the disregard for the law. I got that out of just regular dictionary. A disregard for the police. That's like watching the news. Because this stuff that we're seeing on the news will abound because of that. Because of that, notice what happens. The love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. Now, what he was warning us about is losing our love. Love for what? Well, what about our first love? What about the love for each other? What about the love for the church? What about love for the Word? The love for the teaching of the Word? The love for people's love will grow cold. Now, I'm not sure I understand all that. I know what this lawlessness and what we're seeing take place will do to society. I know what that'll do to us. I know what it'll do to the church. It will cause the love to get cold. If you read over in Revelation, Jesus referred to it as lukewarmness will happen in the church. And he says, because of that, I'll have to spew you out of my mouth. That word, lukewarm, in Revelation means comatose, in a coma. You'll become like you're in a coma. In a coma, you're neither dead and you're neither alive. You're in limbo, just hanging between the two, indecisive. Not sure anymore what's right and wrong. And just not doing anything about what we see. I see this stuff going on out in Washington, out in Seattle. I was talking to some men today. I said, well, you see all this and you think about it, but I say, these people elected that mayor. And probably they'll elect her again. They put her in. They're not rising up and doing a thing about it. So let them have it. Let them have the streets. Let them own the blocks. If I was them, I'd spread out till I took the whole city. If I was one of them. If I was in that crowd, a leader in that crowd, then I'd say, hey, the standard is not there anymore. There's no stick to hold us straight. The stick has fallen. We can do what we want to. Let's take another block. I'm positive I'd be pushing if I was there with them. And I'd say, let's take this city. Let's go and throw the mayor out the window. Who's going to stop us? The people that own the city, that pay the mayor's bill and pay all the police officers, pay everybody, they're not saying a word. They're not rising up. Let them have it. What about New York? What about these other cities? Nobody's saying a word. What about our governor? He'll probably get reelected or one just like him. And the church votes and goes in there and puts them in office. Then we say, oh, my. Well, you put them in there. Where's the standard for righteousness? Where's the standard for right? And now anymore, people, even Christians, don't know right and wrong. Well, I'll tell you, get me started on about voting. But something that simple, they don't even, I don't know what's causing this. Yeah, it's our leaders. Our people we put in office are putting up with it. The people you voted in, I didn't vote them in. Don't come to my house and say I had anything to do with it. I drove a stick up and it's going to stay there. I didn't vote them in. I'll never vote them in. I'll do everything in my power to get them out of office. I'll take my pulpit or my soapbox and I tell everybody, don't vote for them. I'm doing everything I can to get them out of office. And Christians, not you, because I've harped on it enough, you'd probably be afraid to. We put them in there. Nobody said anything. They going to defund the police. Nobody's saying, well, you think that's awful. That's awful. Well, let's just go to... We can't go out and eat. In the last days, the Bible says they'll be eating and drinking and giving in marriage and just ignoring what that means in Noah's day. They were ignoring what was going on. Now, it's normal to eat and drink and marry and give in marriage. He says, it's as it were in the day of Noah. Oh, you mean people were eating and marrying and, oh, how awful. That's not abnormal. That's normal. So what was he saying? They were going about their lifestyle and not even paying any attention. And what was going on, and if you study other sources, that era of time was so violent and lawless, that God had no other choice but to destroy mankind. And they were eating and drinking and going about as if nothing was wrong. What happened? Exactly what the Bible says. Cares of this world, deceitfulness, riches, lust of other things. They were drunk. Their mind wasn't thinking right. They become lazy, become slothful. The standard was no longer there. They compromised, let the stick fall, and they put up with everything. Why do we put up with a Congress and Senate that allows things to go on like we do? Why do we put up with that? Last election, the liberals won the Congress. I think 23% of the church voted. If the church would have voted like the church should vote, there wouldn't be a one of them in Washington. We wouldn't be having any, it wouldn't be any talk about defunding the police. They'd been behind Trump, he'd put a stop to it that quick. But now, the church don't think it even matters. I've got so much to do. I'm involved in so many things, and there's no place to eat. And the love of many will wax cold. What a terrible thing for love to be gone. Love for our lifestyle. Love for our nation. Love for our country. Patriot. Who'd stand and fight because we love our nation so much. It's gone. It's not there. Don't tell me it is. It's not there. People are not mad. The church is not mad. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm doing everything that I can, what people who listen to me sound the alarm as loud as I can to tell people. What we can do is get back to being the church, to being strong spiritually, and get a passion back for the things of God and a deep love back for the things of God and a deep love back for our nation. And a hatred for what's going on in our nation, so much we're driven to run them out of office. But most people don't even know the seriousness of it. Or why? Well, I don't see anything wrong with Hillary Clinton. You got to be joking me. You're a Christian and you don't see anything wrong with voting for Hillary Clinton? No, I've always voted. You're kidding me. Yeah, but you make me mad and you start talking pot. You're joking. When I tell the truth, you get upset. Well, but you love me anyway, I know. Verse 7, for the mystery of this lawlessness is already at work. Only he who's holding it back will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, we got to do a little better job holding it back. Now, there's a lot of people in the countries, nations, I mean, states, I'll get right in a minute, who won't put up with this. They won't put up with this lawlessness. They won't put up with this in their cities. If you look at it, the only ones putting up with is liberals. That ought to tell us something. You say, it's just a bunch of kids just acting up. See, they don't see it. Their eyes is so, we're so blind, we don't see it for what it is. How serious it is. This spirit, it's a spirit, is already at work, and it'll do so until what's holding it back is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, the Antichrist himself. He is the master of this lawlessness. He is the ringleader of this lawlessness. You think it's getting bad now, you sure don't want to be here when he shows up. It's going to get lawless. You're not going to. I was thinking about the other day about the mark of the beast. And some Christians worried about mark of the beast and taking the mark of the beast and being subtly deceived in taking it. But my Bible tells me if you know truth and have a passion for God and a passion for truth, you can't be deceived. You can't be. It's obvious. So don't worry about being somebody slip a chip in on you and say, oh, it's the mark of the beast. You can give me all the chips you want. I'm not scared of them. Amen. We're not going to take any mark, or I don't think we're going to be here to take any mark to be with, but don't worry about the mark of the beast. Amen. People ask me that sometimes. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's the end of his period of reign. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception. The lawless one is full of deception among those who are perishing. Deception among those who are perishing. Well, I'm not perishing. Neither are you. So that deception don't belong to us. Because they did not receive, this is the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now notice what's happened here. And for this reason, God, will send a strong delusion. God sends them a strong delusion. God does. A strong delusion that these people should believe a lie. And they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness or this lawlessness in the last day. God will send them a strong delusion. Now, over in Romans, it says that this will be called the judgment, called judgment. God, in verse 24, therefore God gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their hearts and dishonored their bodies because of that. Now, a strong delusion. Well, God's done this before. You remember over in 2 Chronicles when Jehoshaphat was going to war with Israel, with Ahab, and all his prophets over in 2 Chronicles 18, if you want to turn there. Second Chronicles, what time is it? 8 o'clock. 9:05, somewhere. And Jehoshaphat, verse 6. All these prophets were gathered together in verse 5, 400 men, and said, shall we go up to war against Ramoth Gilead? Or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for God will deliver you, the kings, and into your hand, Almighty King. Go up. And Jehoshaphat said, is there still not a prophet of the Lord here? 400 of them. And he knew they was all just babbling, mouthing off. So the king of Israel said, Jehoshaphat, there is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Well, they're not going to like us in the last day. And these people want to do their thing and do their will. Now, this was a type. These were God's people, Israel. So you could say it's a type of the church. And this guy in the church wanted to do their own thing the way they wanted to do it and all that. And he said, yeah, there's somebody here. There's a prophet here. I hate him. Well, that's a good resume there. Where'd you work at? I work for the king, but he hated me. Because he never prophesied good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imla. And Jehoshaphat, let not the king say such a thing. Then the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, bring Michaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. Then the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, clothed in the robe, each of them sat on the throne. And they sat at the threshing floor of the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaath, had made horns for himself. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. All the prophets prophesied and said so. Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver the kings into your hand. Then the messenger had gone to get Micaiah, son of him, saying, now listen. The words of the prophets with one accord are encouraging the king. Therefore, please let your words be the same thing and encourage him. Don't say anything bad. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, I'll speak. And all the whole place is just one man of God. Then he came to the king and said to the prophet, shall I go up to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? And he said, why go on and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. So the king said, how many times I make you swear that you'll tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Well, I thought those 400 prophets were telling you the truth. He told him what they said, and he got mad at him. You're not telling the truth. How many times I told you not to tell me anything but the truth? How deceived can you be? How far off can you get? Now, don't tell me that we can't get off like that. And the church and people in the church and leaders in the church can't get off. Then he said, I saw Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep, having no shepherd. And the Lord said, they have no master. Let each return to his own house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy anything good but evil? Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on the right hand of his left and his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that they may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner and another spoke in that manner. Now this was taking place in the council room of heaven. Well, things have not changed. Things still go on in heaven concerning the things of the earth. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, now what kind of spirit? As a little less. I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail, go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Wow. Now, these prophets were prophesying by auction. They hadn't determined or made their mind up and got together and say, let's all tell him this. No, they were prophesying by an auction. But it was an evil spirit, a lying spirit in their mouth, and they didn't know the difference. Wow. The Bible says in the last day there'll be false prophets, lying devils to deceive. And Zedekiah the son of came over and slapped Micaiah and said, which way did the spirit of the Lord go from you? Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see on the day when you go out to the inner chamber and hide. Then the king of Israel said, take him away And he went out and put him on bread and water and said, if I don't come back or keep him there, I'll come back. And he said, if you ever come back, I'm a lying prophet. And he didn't come back. He died because 400 prophets were deceived to prophesy deception to a people who had lost their passion for God. No wonder 2 Thessalonians there said, because they lost their love for truth. Are you out there? Is this making sense to you? Hebrews chapter 10 says this. My Bible's just worn sticks together. I got it marked up. I can't hardly read it. Chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our faith or our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order that we may stir up love. Now, this is coming to church in the last day, that we may stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is of the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So it says here that we should come to church to make sure that we stir up this love, admonishing one another, teaching one another, exhorting one another. Keep the love of Jesus Christ. Stay strong in that. That's what I'm doing here tonight. Stay strong for the love of God and the things of God. Stay strong for the love for the church. Stay strong for the love to worship God. Stay strong in the love of giving offerings and tithes. Stay strong in that love for one another. Keep the love strong, because the love of many will grow cold. And you stay out of church for a while and you see how cold you can get. Are you out there? Let me give you a good scripture. Matthew 16. Praise the Lord. The day is approaching. So we come together and stir one another up in the love of God, in the love for the Word, love for the church, love for preaching. The world wants to steal that. You get to where you're just watching TV or reading the wrong kind of books or listening to all this stuff. That love for the things of God, just that passion is not there. In times past, we could afford to be kind of slack. Not now. This lawless spirit is trying to take over. And those who restrain will restrain. We have no authority unless we're close to God. We have no authority unless we're living close to Jesus. Then we have authority to restrain that thing. Amen? Matthew 16 says this. And Jesus, talking at 18, I also say to you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not be strong enough to stand against it, or not prove to be victorious, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, we think that's being on defense against hell. No, that's being on offense against hell. That means kicking down the gate and going in. We lose our love to pray for the lost, we've lost something. If we lose our love to be a strong standard in the family and love for Jesus to not compromise, we've lost something. I'm telling you, If you lose this passion, you'll get dull. We have to ask to be stirred up. You have to have me. You know, sometimes I say, now pray in tongues. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Let's pray in tongues now. Let's go to church. Quit laying out of church. Let's read our Bible. Lift them hands. Worship God. It's not an option. We have to. Are you out there? Psalms 125. You like all these scriptures? First Timothy 4:1, you don't have to turn there, but it says, in the last days some will leave the faith, being seduced by doctrines of demons. Now, if we said, now, look over the body of Christ and see if you can find a doctrine of demons. I dare say most church people couldn't find one. Well, we're either in the last day or we're not. If we're in the last day, there's got to be one somewhere. There's quite a few. If you know truth, I was Bishop Hammond's meeting one time, and they had a guy there from FBI. That's back when it was good. Still good. Like a lot of good men in the FBI. One apple, you know, don't ruin the whole bunch. Just get the bad one out. And he said they taught them to recognize counterfeit money. But he said what they did, they just showed us real money. And we studied real money up one side and down the other. Said every day was studying real money. Said we knew real money, everything about real money. They never one time showed us any counterfeit money. And he said, at the end, they said, listen, if you know the real and know it good, immediately you'll recognize the counterfeit. Amen. Don't study false doctrines or wrong. Study truth. You'll know a lie immediately. Psalms 125, and we'll close with this. Talking about church, this that you're a part of. The church. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. We'll make it. And we'll come out strong. We'll live strong. We'll be a standard. We will not compromise. We will not bend. We will not bow. And Isaiah 60 says they'll run to us. When they're old, they won't depart. They might sway a little bit, but they'll run back to that standard. I guarantee you they will. They'll come back to where truth is. They'll come back to where hope is. They'll come back to where life is. Every time. 125, verse 1 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Now, Hebrews, book of Hebrews, calls Zion the church. So we could, without misusing scripture or anything, those who trust in the Lord like the church, which cannot be moved, but abide forever. Which cannot be moved. Thank God. That's what we're teaching the kids. This youth camp. It can't be moved. What is their theme? Unshakable. Hallelujah. We don't get that in the kids. You stay close to the church, in the church, close to Jesus, stay in love with it. You cannot be moved. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of the wicked shall not rest. For the wicked shall not rest on the land. Now, listen to this scripture. They cannot rest on the land that's allotted to the righteous. You're not getting our nation. You're not getting our city. That's how we hold them back. You're not getting our city. they will not rest on the land that's allotted to the righteous. Well, it's obvious out there in Seattle, they're not claiming this scripture. If somebody ever rises up realizing that's our land, you're not getting it. You're lawless. You're committing an evil. Amen? They cannot. Their scepter, or they're not put their throne or put up their headquarters on the land that's given to us, lest the righteous reach out their hands in iniquity. Now, you see that? Lest the righteous compromise. If the righteous compromise, then they can take your land. That's plain enough, isn't it? Lest the righteous compromise, reach out. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in heart. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity, shall put a lying, deceiving spirit in them, like Romans says and Thessalonians says, will send them strong delusions that they may be judged. And you know the story, Ahab didn't come back. Peace be upon us, O Lord. Hallelujah. As for such as turn aside in their crooked ways, Lord, lead them actually into destruction. Praise the Lord. I'm going to believe I'll stay with Jesus. Amen. Stand up with me. Well, have you enjoyed this? God is on our side. It's very important the church does not compromise itself in the last day. Like Lester Summerall said when Apollyon appeared to him, said, I'll destroy America. First of all, I'll get the church to compromise. I'll get the church to lower its standards. I'll get the church to be dirty. And when the church gets dirty and lowers its standards and compromises, I will destroy this nation. So what the devil trying to do? Doc Barclay's whole message as a prophet of God sent to the church is about church, stay strong, stay clean, stay. Amen? So important. Father, we thank you. We're the church. If we stay strong, don't compromise, the devil can't take our land. He's not going to take our family. He's not going to take our business. He's not going to take our ministry. He's not going to take our city. He's not going to take what you've given us and allotted us to. You've put every person, according to Acts chapter 17, you've allotted a certain place for them. Boundaries, you said. And you set us in that place to guard it, to protect it, to be a watchman, to look over it. It's our job. It's our job who sits in our city council. It's our job in the city who's our mayor. It's our job who's our governor. It's our job as a church. There's enough of us who claim to be Christians in this nation that we can have a peaceful, righteous nation. And the reason is those who claim to be Christians are not really Christians. They are in word only. They don't know the word. Father, help us. We repent. Lord, we ask you to give us our nation. We ask you to deal with that mess in Washington. We ask you to deal with that mess in other parts of the country. Strike this spirit of lawlessness down. Strike it down, Lord, as we stand up as a standard, refusing to move, refusing to bow. We stand in the spirit realm strong, Lord, and we say, Lord, strike this lawless spirit to his knees. We say, Lord, give us Donald Trump in the next election. Give us righteous leaders. Let the church be stirred up to go vote right. Give us leaders, Lord. Leaders who won't compromise. Leaders who at least hold up the right principles. Thank you, Lord, for righteous leaders. Thank you for righteous men and women who won't bow to greed, who won't bow to power, who won't bow to covetousness, but men and women who will stand strong and love America. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not hard to get our nation back if we just get leaders who love our nation. You don't have to be a Christian. Just love our nation. You don't have to be a preacher. Love our nation. That's all you got to do. Well, the love of many. Well, praise the Lord. I love you. Stay strong. You're dismissed.